What a podcast.
If you're looking for pizza now, they're ready when you are. Got a dirty car? Clean it up at the Brownsville Car Wash. Just 5 miles off of I-5.
Exit 216.
If you're looking for pizza now, they're ready when you are.
Hey, everybody, welcome to the Terry and Gatz Show.
That's our show.
It's our show.
It's our co-show.
Today, we talk about several things, a lot about music.
Yeah, the Breaking Bad finale.
Whoa, I hope you watched that. Otherwise, you're looking for some spoilers.
James Hetfield talking some mama jokes.
And talked about Dr. Sleep.
Ooh, that's a good book.
More
Thanks
spoilers.
For listening. See ya.
Welcome to the Terry and Gatch Comedy Show, number 609. There's probably a 6-9 joke in there somewhere, interrupted by a zero.
69.
And I'm Gatch.
I'm Terry.
Yep.
This is the Terry and Gatch Comedy Show. It's Friday.
Yep.
Hey, you recognize this kind of music? It's weird.
Shadows turn to stones.
Just the way he sings. This is Vistachino.
Vistachino!
A new band, fairly new, with the drummer Brant Bjork from Caius and the singer from Caius.
Is that like a cappuccino?
That's a Kappa Vistachino. So it's actually the singer from Caius too, but he's singing a little different on this song. I was told to check this song out specifically by Nick Woos, former victim of internal decay. This is called Planets 1 and 2.
Hmm.
But it kind of had that, I've got that wall inside my head. When it was first jamming a little bit, it sounded like
that
Green Machine Caius song.
But you kind of still hear it too if you're just listening to like the rhythm guitar and the drums.
But then his voice is all weird and different.
Sounds more reverby, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Like he's more in a concert hall rather than like a little bar.
Yeah. They've gone big time now.
Yep.
So finally got to check these guys out, downloaded their album, which I can't remember what it's called.
And this is what Caius Lives was?
It's two of the guys from Caius Lives, and then it's the guitarist and the bass player, different people. I don't know even who's in the band, but the album's called Peace.
Mm-hmm.
Peace, bro. So that's kind of cool. I'm going to be checking these guys out. I only heard a couple songs so far, and this was the one that Nick told me was tasty stuff. Sounds kind of tasty.
I got some big news for you.
Oh, no. I like
and
big
it,
news.
And it refers, and it's kind of related to this. You know a guy by the name of, I don't know if he's related to Jerry Murphy, but his name is James Murphy.
Oh, I think it's his cousin.
Yeah, he's kind of like a producer maybe in the metal realm.
He probably is now. He came on the scene in like 90 on the Death Spiritual Healing album.
Uh-huh.
And then I don't know if he got kicked out. I know that he's been said that he's hard to work with, maybe a little bit egotistical. He's really a really good lead
Control
player.
Freaks and perfectionists are hard to work with.
Yeah, and he's really good, so you'd probably think that he's probably a perfectionist. But he was on Obituary's Cause of Death. And then later, I think he even went on to play with bigger bands like Testament for a little while.
Oh.
And he had a band called Dis Something.
Dropkick Murphys?
Yeah, Dropkick Murphys. James and the Dropkick Murphys.
Now, he's producing the metal White Stripes. He brought two metal guys, a drummer and a guitarist, together.
Okay.
And who do you think he would try to get if you're going to make the Metal White Stripes?
The Metal White Stripes.
What drummer and guitarist? You know, and I think like the White Stripes, they had chemistry.
Okay.
You know, their songs would have been nothing if they had no chemistry.
So are these people in a band together or are they separate?
I don't think they've
ever played together.
They might have.
Okay, but they're not in a band, like a project.
I don't think so.
Okay. Well, this is tough.
They're both pretty big.
Okay.
Well, it's a super group. I'm going to say it's a super group.
I'm just going to throw out a couple names here.
Right.
You're talking a guitarist, vocalist, and a drummer?
Uh-huh.
Okay. Well, shoot.
Names you'd know.
Names I'd know. And we're talking, are we talking death metal names or just metal?
Well, think of like James Murphy type metal.
Okay. So I'm going to go ahead and say, shoot, that's so hard.
All right, you want a hint?
Yeah, I want a hint.
All right, they're brothers.
Oh! They're brothers. They haven't worked together or they have? You don't know.
I don't know.
Okay. Well, shoot. The only brothers that I can think of right now that would be kind of related to James Murphy would be the Obituary Brothers, but I don't think that that's them because the brother is a singer, not a guitarist. So, shoot. Brothers.
All right, what if one of them was named Max?
Oh, they're the Cavaleras?
Yep.
Wow, well, they already... Huh. Okay, well, they were in Sepultura for many years together, and then they started a thing about 2008, I think, or 9, called the Cavalera Conspiracy.
Where they worked together, but was it just the two of them?
No, it was a four-man band.
All right.
But it was Max and Igor back together again for the first time ever. It was all right. It was a little more commercial, but I don't think it was as heavy as Sepultura when they were together with those brothers. So does this have a name or?
Apparently just James Murphy convinced those guys to work on him with a metal version of the White Stripes. And
so he put that out there, not you, the White Stripes thing.
Yeah, he put that out there.
Okay.
Yeah. And it says Igor has been living in England. He's already got the DJ group Mix Hell.
Okay. Is he a DJ now?
No, that's with his wife, Lema Layton.
Okay.
And the Cavalera Conspiracy with his brother, Max.
Okay.
Yeah. According to Igor, is that?
Yeah,
okay.
Igor!
He wanted to record a new EP with Cavalera Conspiracy and brought James Murphy on board to produce it. However, Murphy persuaded them to launch the quartet as a duo instead.
Huh. Wow.
Well, just the two of them on stage, and he basically asked them to get rid of the other two members.
Damn.
And this will come to be the heaviest record of our careers. He promised that.
Max? Or Igor or James?
That would be... He would be Igor.
Igor. Well, that's good because, I don't know, it'll probably be along the same lines as the Cavalera Conspiracy since it kind of was going to be a CC EP.
Yep. James Murphy also just finished up working on Arcade Fire's fourth album.
Ooh. Dude, I just saw them on Saturday Night Live.
I skipped it.
I did too because I saw that skit that said, okay, Tina Fey, you get to see, is this a new cast member or a member of Arcade Fire?
Yeah.
That was pretty funny.
Uh-huh.
Pretty good.
That wasn't bad.
And then I was like, God, they said something about standing around holding old-timey instruments.
Oh, yeah.
they brought some old-timey instruments. Uh-huh. And I was like, what kind of old-timey instruments do these Arcade Fire people
And one
play?
Was like an Ovation mini guitar.
Yeah. And then they even said that the Arcade Fire had been on Saturday Night Live like 5 times in the last 3 years. That's twice per season on a couple seasons.
Lorne Michaels, the funniest line of the episode right there in that skit, too.
The black one?
Yeah.
What? And Keenan Thompson, he's just so funny the way he acts, and he's just like, hey.
The way you put those guys in their place, too, was funny,
and like
too.
When Tina Fey started to talk about, well, when I was a cast member, he's like, this ain't no interview. It's like, oh, I've been here. He's probably got the most tenure or whatever, like seniority, I would think.
Yeah, I think so around there
being,
now.
Yeah.
You know, I think he's the big star.
It won't be long, I don't think, before he... heads his separate way, because you can only be on there for so long, like what?
And he's good. He can do several different characters. I could see him probably going like an Eddie Murphy way.
Yeah, yeah. And
he does shows like that and does several different characters.
He had success early with his Nickelodeon show or whatever it was, Kellen Keenan.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't know about that really until my daughter was like, hey, that's the guy from Kellen Keenan.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, oh, that's Keenan. Mm-hmm. I don't know who Kel is. What the Kel's going on?
What do you
on?
Think about the new Weekend Update girl?
I thought it was all right. We'd been talking.
She'd been a cast member before, right?
Yeah, she was the girl that used to come on there on the Weekend Update and be drunk girl at the party who you don't want to talk to.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
And she would go, Seth, don't you know? And that was the only thing I thought, that she acted a little bit like that character during some of her stories,
mm-hmm.
which that's kind of her thing, I guess. But she seemed all right. I thought it was cool when she kind of brought Tina Fey out, but she was like Jane Curtin, and mm-hmm. then she said Amy Poehler.
I thought they were going to bring them all out. I expected Jane Curtin to roll on out.
I saw her recently in a drama series on CBS where she plays a, I don't even know what she is, but I only watched about 5 minutes, and I like thought I was flipping through the channels, and I was like, wait, is that Jane Curtin? She's got short hair now, and she's all old, because she's old.
But it's about time for Coneheads' new movie.
Even though
Chris Farley around. But he wasn't a Conehead, right?
Nope.
He was just the boyfriend.
And the three Coneheads are still all alive.
Yeah.
Lorraine Newman, she does a lot of stuff. I don't know what. I've been seeing her name around on podcasts and different things, and she does voices for Metalocalypse sometimes. And
she's still active.
They're all staying busy.
Yeah.
And they're all old. Speaking of old people, not Hans. Well, he's as old as me almost, but he sent me a message right before we started recording, said new Monster Magnet October 15th.
Woo!
Well, well.
Space mother.
So good job, Hans, there for...
Right on. I remember the first Monster Magnet ad I saw. It was in a Metal Edge magazine or something, and I didn't know who they were.
Uh-huh.
We're talking 92, maybe. Yeah. You know, and so I didn't really delve into Monster Magnet until about 94, which I think Pat turned me on to him.
Uh-huh.
So 92, that would have been, I know the picture, I can see it. It's the Super Judge, you know. It's like the Metal Edge magazine while I'm at Albertson's thumbing through. And it said right there, the Doors of the 90s.
Wow.
And... But I never picked it up, you know. I wasn't into the underground as much in that day and age.
Yeah, I got turned on to him by Jeff and Lance, Jeff Simpson. Mm-hmm. And we talked about it before. I didn't like him that much at first. But then once I got to it, liking it, I liked it a lot. Super Judge came out. I think it was Super Judge. And back in the day, okay, I bought like, it was probably in a magazine too. But I used to be able to buy those little cassette singles and have one song on one side and one song on the other. And then there was a thing in the magazine that said, new Monster Magnet coming out on this certain day. To hear clips of the song, call this 1-800 number. And they'll play. They played little clips of King of Mars, if that's even on. That might be Dopes to Infinity. I can't remember which album it was. But anyway, liking them so much. And back in the day, have I said that enough? Back in the day, I had one of those answering machines that had tapes on it.
Oh, yeah?
And you could record your phone calls.
Nice.
And then I would record the Monster Magnet snippets on my thing, and then somehow I took the tape and transferred it. So I was listening to like little 1 minute snippets of new Monster Magnet before it came out, and it just sounded crappy, like you're listening to it on a phone. But it's weird how that
did
was.
Did you learn it from there and then like play it for people and say it was your new song?
No, because it was only like a minute. I got this new part of a song. But it was kind of cool. That was like one of the precursors to that instant gratification of like going online and seeing something for the first time, which online was already a thing, but I wasn't using computers at that
92,
time.
92, though. I mean, you'd have to be pretty rich to have a personal computer where you're I don't even think there was music online at that time.
I don't think so either. Maybe.
I mean,
a
you might
bit.
Be able to like there might have been like peer-to-peer sharing.
Yeah.
Back in the day, but even then it was so dangerous because you could get a virus just because somebody wanted to fuck with you, you know?
They'd plant it in one of their songs or something, and then when you downloaded it, or how does that work?
Well, let's just say, like, if instead of going to a porn site, you know, you wanted to find a picture, you basically had to find somebody who had it or knew where it was.
Right.
Or uploaded it, and so you'd go download the file, and then it'd be like a virus. You'd go to open it, and then your computer would be fucked.
Yeah. Well... Things aren't so bad these days.
Yeah.
With the viruses, because we got all that protection and stuff. Mm-hmm. But
back then, yeah, it was nothing.
So, yeah, thanks, Hans, for the Monster Magnet news. And also, we earlier this week remembered to remind you that we do have a hotline still, 541-791-6824. And when we said that, we were talking about lyrics. We were talking about lyrics being in lyrics.
Yeah.
Well, and Hans sent me a message. He goes, hey, I called the hotline, and I was telling you about lyrics in lyrics.
Yep.
So let's listen to this and see what Hans has to say.
Hey, Terry and Gats, you fortunate homeless snails. This is Hans. I was just listening to, what day is today? Wednesday's episode, and you guys were talking about Just What the Doctor Ordered by Ted Nugent and the lyrics, having lyrics about lyrics. And I always thought he was talking about, the word was not lyrics, but licks. But he practiced, he jammed every day, and he jammed every night, and he practiced till he knew all the licks.
Licks.
Maybe I'm right, maybe I'm wrong.
Oh, wow.
All right, later. Rock on, fellas.
Thanks, Hans.
Yeah,
out the licks. All right. Huh. I practiced hard till I knew all the licks.
You know,
if
I
you're from Boston, you say licks, it's going to sound like licks.
I would say, is that Stranglehold?
It's Just What the Doctor Ordered.
Oh.
Yeah.
I think licks would be much funnier if he said that in there. I practiced all the licks.
I practiced till I knew all the licks.
Yeah. But that always reminds me of that Motley Crue documentary.
Lick it.
Back when, you know, VHS rock documentaries on bands were huge for a while.
Yeah.
And I think it was the one that came around with Dr. Feelgood around that time. And Mick Mars said, the licks I know, I know. I don't practice licks I know. When I practice stuff I don't know.
New licks.
Yep.
I practice licking people I don't know.
As he was reloading shotgun shells or rifle shells, there was like his little background motif.
I think I remember that. It might not be the same documentary, but I think I remember that. And he was talking about... He was funny. Like, he was trying to be funny.
Yeah. Yeah, they were all kind of, like, tongue-in-cheek.
He's searching for that elusive... He was talking about pussy in the fishnet panty or something. I don't know. But I just remember that as a youngster thinking, oh, he's talking about... I think I used that phrase for a while, trying to find the elusive something or other inside the women's panties.
Yeah. And then Tommy Lee would talk about hearing Kiss Alive for the first time and how it's just so fucking insane. He'd bang on his Quaker Oats bins listening to it.
Yeah, he had to be fairly young at that time.
Yeah.
Got a little sniffle.
Those guys are 50s at least now,
oh,
right?
At least.
They got they're doing a residency still in Las Vegas, just like Miley.
So they play at a certain place every night for a while?
I think they just did score their second residency there. They did that one time, the last time with the circus, right?
Right.
Where they had like 50-plus performers.
Mm-hmm. And Guns N' Roses recently did a little residency down there as well.
I think that's cool because, you know, obviously if you have the same stage every night, you don't have to tear it down, so you
right.
can do more stuff.
Yeah. Maybe change up the set list, do some practicing during the day, bring in some new tunes or something.
You did say this right here does say licks.
Okay.
I jammed every day. I jammed every night. I practiced till I knew all the licks. Now I'm on the verge of a nervous breakdown.
Over the bell of my heart, it's so crazy. Yeah, you know that I like it.
If he was,
good
if
job,
he was,
Hans.
If Ted Nugent was clever in any way, though, he would have said lyrics in the second time. In the second verse.
I practiced till I knew all the licks, and I knew all the lyrics.
Yep. Yeah,
and that makes me wonder. You know, Ted was kind of the guy in charge of everything. I noticed on the back of Double Live Gonzo as I was listening to it said, Ted Nugent, the arranger.
Mm-hmm.
Like the lone arranger, I guess.
That's just you're composing the song, right?
Yeah, like maybe
some
other guys might have put in a lick here or there a riff or something, and then he said, well, here's how the song's going to go, though.
He's like, we need a bridge here, and the guy's like, how about this? And he goes, all right, that's going right there.
Or
and
he'll say, no.
Yep.
That's not going in my song. So, yeah, we hope you guys made it through the government shutdown. It's Friday. I'm not sure if they're still shut down.
They're going to be shut down for days, dude.
For days?
They were shut down 17 years ago for 28 days straight when Clinton, something with Clinton.
It happened a while back, too, just for a day or two when Obama did that. But I think it's so funny. People get all up in arms about politics, and I got a couple friends.
I was getting all up in arms the other day. I don't know if you saw that or not, but I was.
About?
I gave a little rant.
I think I saw it.
I gave a little rant about people being just toting the party lines without.
Oh,
really,
I think you commented on my thing, huh?
I did that too. Yeah.
Oh, that was a different one. Okay, That's cool. Yeah, because you know I got some friends that they're not nearly rich enough to be Republicans, and because they hate black people, they're all of a sudden hate Democrats, and Obama's killing everything. Obama, goddamn Obama. It's like he's a scapegoat for racists, I believe. The presidential scapegoat for racists.
I think, yeah, it's an easy attack.
And they were Democrats when Clinton was in. They hated George Bush. But now all of a sudden, a black Democrat? Well, I'm Republican. Fuck
I'm not going to say that I know enough to be able to say Obama is doing a great job or a horrible job. I think he's doing, you know, the best he can with the situation that he's got, just as any president does any time. I think they all do the best they can with what they got at the time.
I mean, why wouldn't they?
Yeah.
I mean,
that's what they got into it for in the first place. You know, they didn't go in there for the paycheck, really, I don't think.
Yeah.
Maybe the time off and the perks, but.
Yeah, and then you get paid forever after you're not the president. You're still Mr.
Even
president.
In the Senate, I think you get a permanent retirement.
And I had somebody on my feed complaining about, oh, Obama won't sign the thing because he doesn't agree with it. Well, that's how it's supposed to be.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, oh, he's just like a little kid. If you can't do it my way, we're not playing at all. I'm shutting the whole thing down. Duh, he's the president. He gets the last word. That's his job. Mm-hmm. It's like I was talking to somebody about, what was it? Oh,
like
somebody.
One of the extremists on both sides.
It's like somebody that said something about being contacted by the, attendance enforcement, like for school. Truancy officer, that's it.
Yep.
So they were getting ready to put their kid into online schooling, but hadn't done it yet. And then the truancy officer came by their house, and the response was, well, not that it's any of her business, but I will give her a call. And I said, that's totally her business, because that's her job, to enforce attendance for kids who are required to go to school. So, you know, not trying to be mean to you, lady, but
that is her job.
It is her job, totally, and it is her business. That's that's her business.
Yeah.
But, you know, I don't know.
I think the thing that bugs me the most is that people get so upset and say they love the country, but then bag on it.
Yeah.
When they're instead of doing something that could be proactive and help change something that they want to see, you know, I mean, because that's what's great about the country. If you don't like something, we'll run for a fucking city board. Because I think change happens on the local level. You know, that's the greatest chance to make change. You know, when obviously by the time you get into any national wide political anything, you're so backed by all the numerous special interests and people that want to try to abuse you that it's so hard to get through everything and to get anything done.
Yeah. Fuckers.
So if you want your fucking road paved, you know, go and run for fucking the road paving.
Yeah, and it seems like all the state-ran things are still going just fine. The government's being shut down, so why do we really need them?
Well, the panda, you know, that panda cam that they had online at one of the zoos, that's shut down. That's one of the things that got affected.
Yeah, and a lot of the government workers that get shut down, they're the ones who are like, they're not letting me work.
Well, I'm wondering, too, I mean, is that on the local level? Like, if you probably know people that work for the city or state, like,
right. Yeah.
I mean, are they not getting paychecks and stuff? Does it come down to that level?
They couldn't even work. Actually, one guy that I was talking about that was saying, you know, the thing about, oh, if he's not going to sign it, if he doesn't get his way, he was ranting about it, and I just kind of went blah 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 on his thing, and then someone else had said, "Well, that's the chance you take of being a government worker. You know, if the government shuts down, then you're not going to get paid. You can't even go clock into your work." I know a lot of the government, the federal parks were shut down for a few days. They maybe they still are.
That's still pretty steady work, though.
Oh, yeah.
1 month out of every 17 years shut down.
Yeah.
So, and the nice perks. But, yeah, I don't want to see it affect people on that level, for sure, you know?
Yeah.
But if they could only work together.
Yep, so screw the government. We don't need those guys.
You like, you ever heard of the Autumn Screams Doomfest?
Autumn Screams?
Autumn Screams Doomfest.
I don't believe so.
Well, it is a Doomfest.
I believe you. Where's that?
It happens in autumn. And I read about this on... Wait a minute. Is there a new...
Wait a minute. Wait a minute.
I got two things here. All right, you can find this on metalunderground.com. Nirvana 20th anniversary editions of In Utero and Live and Loud. What is that? Is that going to be like a live?
Live and Loud was a MTV concert for New Year's Eve that was broadcasted live and loud.
Oh, wow.
They've showed parts of it but never released the full thing. They used to show it on MTV once in a while.
That's awesome.
It's like one of their last American performances, I believe.
Well, go to our website, tagcastpodcast.com, click on the Amazon link, and you can pre-order that, I think, at the best. It's a guaranteed best price.
Nice.
So if it drops in price by the time it goes down, or it releases,
it'll
go
down
that price.
Yeah.
I think they do that on music. I know they do that for video games. But all right, the Autumn Screams Doom Festival. That's going to be cool, man.
Where is that at?
I love the In Utero album. It always like puts me right back in 1994.
Yep.
Or 93.
93 it came out late 93.
Yeah, late 93, yeah. 'Cause it was I remember.
So what does In Utero have to do with the Autumn?
I just saw that ad on this website.
Okay.
And it was big and loud in my face. Ayo, shout out.
Big and loud.
In Baltimore, Maryland, October 25th and 26th.
That's the same place as the Maryland Death Fest.
At the Autobar. This is the second annual Autumn Screams Doomfest.
Wonder if Stringer's going. Stringer and Avon will be down there rocking out to some black metal.
That would be awesome.
Because I didn't know before, and now that I've been watching The Wire, they said, I was reading about the Maryland Death Fest, and it said that Baltimore is, like, mostly black people, like, majority. And there's a lot of black folks on that show, The Wire, which is...
Yeah, and, there was somebody else that I just put to somebody. Oh, Avon Barksdale, did you know, and I might have texted this to you, but I don't think I did, he played in a 2000... movie in 2000, the Hendrix documentary. He played Hendrix.
Oh, okay. I knew
have
he looked familiar. I have, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I watched a few little clips of it just to check it out and stuff.
I knew he looked familiar from something, and you did send me that message, but I don't think I really, like, saw his face in my mind and thought, oh, yeah, that was Jimi Hendrix.
Yeah, and he looks, you know, I could see him pulling that off.
Yeah, for sure.
But you know who's going to be the Hendrix in the new movie?
I didn't know they had a new one, but... Don Cheadle?
Andre 3000.
What?
Yep.
Wow. Hopefully he'll do a good job. He's a
performer.
He's a performer, and he's a, what do you call it, talented dude.
Yeah, multi-talented. I actually even, you know, some of those songs that they did are pretty funny.
Oh, yeah. But before they got into the hey,
Pussy Smells Like Shit or whatever, is that the song?
I think that might have been on the same album. Yeah, something about a rose or something. But yeah, I like some of their earlier stuff. Hooty hoo. Sit around the campfire.
Is that a thing?
And if you listen real close, you can hear them.
Hooty hoo. Does Dave listen to those guys? Because Dave Wambacher says hooty hoo.
Does he? Maybe.
I've heard him say that.
He might be a closet outcast fan.
Oh, man.
He's been outcast from the closet.
All right, hit me up if you've heard of any of these bands that are going to be playing.
Okay. Autumn Screams.
features an exclusive East Coast performance from none other than Loss.
Huh. I recognize the name, but I don't know. I can't hear them in my head because I don't have any of their CDs. I don't know if I've ever heard Loss.
All right. Highlights include the first Maryland appearance of Rhode Island's Church Burn.
Whoa.
Doom mainstays Iron Man, who recently signed with the Rise Above Records.
No Yob?
Nope. Virginia's Satan Satyrs.
I have heard of none of these bands so far.
And Doom Miscreants Uzala.
Uzala.
And also Sinister Haze.
Nope.
Serpent Throne.
Nope.
Negative Reaction.
That's what you're getting from me.
Sunburster.
No.
And this name I like. Weed is Weed.
Wow.
So I'm going to have to check those guys out.
Weed is Weed. Victims used to have a song called Weed is a Grocery.
Nice.
That never made it to print, though.
And the second day is some of the other bands I mentioned earlier, and Drug Lord, Wizard Eye. Uzala looks like the farthest reach where they're going. They're from Boise. And the others are from, like, Tennessee, PA, Maryland.
So they're kind of all up there in that northeastern corner.
Unholy Anarchy Records will be recording the fest for a double LP compilation that'll feature a live track from each band.
Hmm.
And will be mixed by Zach Allen of Obsidian Eye Studio.
I don't know any of these people, man. Am I out of the doom loop or what?
Yeah. You might be. I don't know, though, because I've seen doom doom lineups sometimes, too, that just end up being, like, more black metal, right?
Yeah.
I don't know. Is, I guess, heavier,
they
slower black metal sometimes?
They kind of mix that up in there, just the sounds of it, to where it's, like, it seems like black metal, doom metal is more kind of, I don't know, maybe considered crust. Because a lot of those crust bands sound kind of doomy, but they have upbeat stuff too, but they've got those black metal tendencies. Mm-hmm. Where, like, even Vol, Mike Scheidt's new band, mm-hmm. that has some black metal tendencies. Not a lot of doom tendencies, but few.
Are you talking keyboards?
No, like just the style of the riffs and the mm-hmm. way that they pick fast on chords and do blast beats that aren't super fast. They're kind of in between speed, like not ultra fast blast and not like a super fast beat. I don't even know how to explain it, but yeah, it's just some black metal black metal musical tendencies.
What would Consummation,
mm-hmm.
what would that song sound like if we programmed it into a synclavier?
Whoa. Depends on what instruments you assigned it to. It'd be cool if you did like all clarinets or something. Clarination. consuming clarination. Speaking of a synclavier, you dropped another episode of Zappa Tag Cast,
dude.
You?
Oh, quick on that button, yeah. Huh?
Boom! You haven't had any for a while, and you get one, you get two. Boom!
Yeah. Well, the other one was so popular. I mean, we were getting like hundreds of downloads a day all week almost, and so
on the Boulez one and the
overall Zappa. Oh, okay, but cool. Still, I mean, that one shot up as soon as the morning that I dropped the new one, I looked like 6 hours later, is already up to 45 listens.
Huh. Nice.
And so, we can release two more, I think, in the next month that
awesome.
I did. And then, we'll go back to some more regular releasing.
Oh, yeah, and Hans said to not let me forget when I saw him at practice yesterday. To get some money from him, monies for the tag cast. So he's going to do another.
Thanks, Hans.
Yeah.
That rocks. We've made $6.81 towards this month for Amazon.
Cool.
From last month.
Cool.
So that'll bring it down a little bit.
And then the old Brownsville Car Wash will be kicking in another $20 to keep the show rolling. You know, you're talking about black metal and death metal and stuff. Saw this story out of Chicago. There's a heavy metal themed restaurant called Kuma's Corner that said that some of the people are offended by their new burger that's topped with a communion wafer.
Huh, that is weird.
It's weird enough that you got a communion wafer on a burger. But it's weird that people would be offended. Luke Tobias, the director of operations at Kuma's Corner, said that the Ghost, a burger named for Swedish metal band Ghost, is a 10-ounce burger with a red wine reduction and an unconsecrated communion wafer. The burger is $17 and served on a pretzel bun with a portion of slowly braised goat shoulder, aged white cheddar cheese, and a Ghost chili.
That's weird with the communion wafer, though. What
that
would
that
be
to
like
do with ghosts?
Absolving you of your sins afterwards, I guess?
I don't
know. Should be the side.
So there's been several complaints.
I like it, though.
People have been kind of upset, he said. The thing with this is the communion wafer is unconsecrated, so until that happens, it's really just a cracker.
Yeah. There's a... Where is it? In L.A., there's a metal-themed food truck.
Oh, cool.
And I think they're on... There's that Food Network show called The Fake Great Food Truck Race.
Uh-huh. I've heard of it. I haven't watched it yet, but...
And I think they were on one of those, or they were on one of their food truck competition shows prior to. But I've seen them on there before. And I think they got, like, Hetfield Burger and stuff like that. which is cool. I mean, you know, because people would eat there just because.
Right.
You know?
But they love metal.
Yeah. Did you watch, have you been keeping track? The South Park's are two episodes in.
Yep, I started to watch the new one, but the kid was in there and he's like, this is a grown-up show. I tried to pull a fast one and watch a cartoon because he was like playing with my Kindle.
Uh-huh.
He was watching like Umizoomi or something and then he wasn't paying attention, so I switched to South Park and sure enough, he noticed, hey, what happened? This is a grown-up show. He's got some new thing
wasn't getting the jokes, maybe?
He just knew. We've watched
funny.
South Park
yeah, okay.
before, and he knows that we've told him you shouldn't be watching that because that's got grown up humor.
I like the one you talked about last week where they were kind of making fun of
NSA.
Yeah, the NSA. But the thing that I grabbed more out of it was that, and here we go political again, but like die hard religious people. Like, will pray to an invisible God to protect them.
Uh-huh.
But the government that is actually trying to protect us.
Yeah.
We bash.
Shun, yep. Bash and shun.
Mm-hmm. But people bash Jesus, too. You know?
Yeah.
But, and then I watched one. Was that the one with the... Yeah, it was the one with the DMV. I thought that was funny, too.
Yeah.
Where they're all going to the DMV.
And confessing their sins?
Yeah.
I didn't really understand what they were going... I mean, I got it, I guess, but then I still found myself going, why the DMV?
Yeah. I can't remember what last night's new one was.
I didn't get to watch it. I did read the thing, but I can't recall what it was about, but it wasn't any... Oh, it was something about a video game, Minecraft.
Oh yeah, it was.
They're trying to teach the parents a lesson or something by playing Minecraft.
Because the parents keep watching those murder porns that you see, like you know, where the wives and husbands kill
each
other.
Yeah,
and so they
you want
they
me
use
dead,
the parental controls, and that's where the Minecraft comes in.
Ah,
and Minecraft, I guess, is a kids only thing where. I guess it must be parents don't know the point of the game. I've never played it, but I've heard of it. And I guess it's just you don't really do anything in the game except for build stuff and then tear it down.
That's
punch
weird.
Trees for wood and stuff like that. I don't know. That's what I got from it.
Huh. Yeah, I've heard of people talking about playing Minecraft, but I don't know. I'm not enough of a nerd, I guess.
What about the new show Brooklyn Nine-Nine?
I don't know. Oh, with Andy Samberg?
Yeah, and Chelsea Peretti.
I haven't seen it. Is it
and,
funny?
Another one of those guys that isn't from... God, I think he might be from Saturday Night Live. He almost looks like Hader. Bill Hader?
Uh-huh.
And maybe he was in Superbad, too. Maybe he was the other cop.
Hmm. Well, I haven't seen the new show, so I don't
Superbad.
Know. I mean, I've seen Superbad, but years ago.
Yeah. But It's all right. It's funny. It's got some weird fucking off-the-wall Andy Samberg-type gags to where it's just bizarre. Like, there's that one guy, that one black guy on there who's always like a big macho man, but he's funny, too.
On that show?
Yeah. And at one point, he's all cussing like he's going to kick somebody's ass in the other room, and they walk in there, and he's putting together a pink dollhouse for his daughter, and he's all getting pissed at it, and he's like, why the hell does a dollhouse even have wheels anyway? And the one guy's like, oh, I had one of those when I was a kid in a flashback, and he's trying to play with the dollhouse, and he's telling his mom, they bought it for both of us, it's not just hers.
I'll have to check it out. What nights is it on?
I think Tuesdays or something. It's on Channel 12, I think.
Right on.
Chelsea Peretti's pretty funny on there, too.
Yeah, she's pretty funny. That reminds me, she was on a few of the comedy Bang Bangs, and I can't believe we missed it, but I guess it was Wednesday night. They had Comedy Bang Bang Live at Portland at the Aladdin Theater, and it was Paul F. Tompkins and Scott Wackerman.
Yeah. Paul,
and some other people, and Shane Torres, local comedian.
That would have been fun, man.
Portland's funniest person. He got in there and did some stuff with him, and I saw a picture posted, and someone posted a comment that said, that's awesome that Scott and those guys asked to get their picture taken with Shane, which is kind of cool, because normally Shane or a local comedian would be like, hey, could I get my picture with you guys? Because you guys are like...
Yeah, but that's their thing, though, is they take pictures with their guests.
Oh, yeah.
And then they put question marks over them and have people guess...
Who they are?
Yeah. Like on their website and stuff.
Ah.
That guy, Joe Lotruglio. You know that guy, right?
Joe Lotruglio?
Yeah. Joe Lotruglio. I know he's had stuff.
Do.
And Terry Crews was the black guy.
Ah, I don't recognize either one of those names.
You know him.
I'd know him if I saw him, right?
Yep.
Huh.
Yep. So you guys look up Joe Lotruglio.
Joe Lotruglio.
Joe Lotruglio.
Oh, Joe Lotruglio. Oh, Joe Lotruglio. So hope you guys are having an awesome Friday. The sun came out a little. Came out yesterday for a while. It's supposed to be kind of nice. Oh, yeah. I recognize Joe Lotruglio. Yeah. But I don't remember where from. I've seen him on some shows, though.
Yeah, he's a comedian. He does stuff.
Hmm.
He was on The State, Reno 911. Role Model, Super Bad, Paul, that show, if you saw that.
About the alien with Rogan? Okay, yeah.
He was in Pineapple Express. He was in Wreck-It Ralph.
Now we're talking about that.
He was on Drunk History, Al Capone. Yeah, he was Markowski on Wreck-It Ralph.
Huh. I'll have to listen to that again because that's just his voice, not his face.
Yeah, as a cartoon.
Yep.
You probably watch it a time or two, I would imagine, right?
Yeah.
Do you guys do steady rotations of the same movie? Does Jaden enjoy like the same movie over and over?
Wreck-It Ralph's his new one right now. Yeah, he's been watching that a lot. For a while, it was Shark Tale, which is a cartoon movie with Will Smith and Jack Black and Robert De Niro, which is pretty cool. I enjoyed that one a little bit. But, yeah, he does. And he likes certain episodes of shows. Like if he's going to watch Team Umizoomi or Mickey Mouse Club, he'll say, I want to watch the one about this or whatever. And it'll be a specific episode that he's talking about.
Right on.
I don't know why. I guess kids like to know what they're, I don't know.
Yeah.
Like to watch the same one over
and over. I've known people that enjoyed watching B over and over, that movie with Jerry Seinfeld.
Oh, yeah.
There's the Terry Crews from Brooklyn Nine-Nine.
Oh, okay.
I
know that guy.
The dollhouse together.
He was in White Chicks and a lot of other
funny
movies, too. Yeah.
And it's a decent show. I don't know how long it's going to last, but it's worth watching.
Right on. Cool. Other thing that was worth watching... I got to see, like I said, the Saturday Night Live that had Jesse Pinkman do his cameo. That was kind of cool. And he showed up in the E-Meth commercial, which I thought was, it contains no antifreeze, but still has that great meth taste. It's like, now mommy doesn't even have to go outside the bar to light up. I can do it in the office or in a bathtub in the middle of the street or face down in a big old tire.
That was pretty funny.
He's like, and you know it's good because it's blue, bitches. All right.
I saw Vince Gilligan on Stephen Colbert, and that was pretty classic.
Oh, you sent me a message about that, I believe.
Yeah, he said, why doesn't Walt just go to The Walking Dead now?
It's kind of funny.
And then at the end, he had this little skit to where he opened up this door, and it was like down the stairs, and Vince Gilligan was down there typing, and he's like, Stephen, can I go now? And he's like, no, you're going to make Walt live somehow. And he gave him all these ideas, like, what if this and this, and, you know, what Jesse do? Why? What if he did he crash? You know, he seemed to be driving really fast. What's Walt Jr. going to do with all that money? And he's just throwing, he's like, now get to typing, bitch. And slammed the door on him.
You're going to bring Walt back.
Yep.
That's too funny.
Yeah, it was pretty classic. And Colbert had fucking Metallica on earlier, too, and kind of embarrassed them, I think, with his interview.
All I heard was people making fun of Metallica about being on there and how they sounded crappy. And
mm-hmm. Yeah, they did the For Whom the Bell Tolls, which, I don't know, it didn't, you know, it sounded like aging rockers playing one of their classics. It just looked weird with all the Stephen Colbert set of red, white, and blue, and flags and everything.
They're
but
all, America! Yeah!
You know, but, he threw a few slings at everybody there, and most of them played back at him with... except for James, kind of got embarrassed because it was about his anger issues. It was about Saint Anger.
Ooh.
Stephen Colbert's like, Saint Anger, now that's one of your guys' records. I haven't listened to it, but...
Good for you, Stephen, because that's a bad one. That is a bad one.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I had some people that were talking about Breaking Bad, and they were saying that they'd watched the episode like... Well, I don't know.
Too many times?
Three times. They're like, yeah, this is the third time I've watched Breaking Bad's Felina, and they're wanting to talk about it on Facebook, and their friends haven't seen it, and they're like, if you're a diehard Breaking Bad fan, then you will have seen the episode by now. And then he's got friends coming on there saying, don't say anything, I'm only on season 3, or whatever, you know. So.
Well, that's tough, but they should know, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know. I don't like a... I know better than to go on something after a big thing like that airs.
Yeah.
You know, or like a finale of a show I want to watch.
Right.
Or a Felina.
So I got some things about Breaking Bad here. This is 5 Breaking Bad actors whose early roles now look hilarious. Do you know what Gus Fring used to be on? The actor who plays Gustavo Fring?
Oh, man, I've seen him in a few things. I've seen him on Celebrity Ghost Story.
Well, when he was a kid, he was Big Bird's camp counselor on Sesame Street.
Yeah, all right. That's crazy.
Yeah.
And now look how Big Bird turned out.
Yep. Big Bird fumbles mess hall etiquette, pokes fun at Mickey's name, and worst of all, splashes his exasperated counselor with a cannonball.
Wow. You know, Giancarlo Esposito, he was also on this week. He was on Arsenio.
Huh? Wow.
I don't know if you've watched that show.
I have,
and
I heard a little bit about it. I heard that it's not as good as it was cracked up to be made.
Dude, it's like a time capsule right back in 1991.
I heard on the first episode he actually brought out a time capsule that had some stuff from back in the day. But.
Stephen Colbert brought one out the other day from 1992, the last time the budget crisis shut down government, and he stuffed the top artist in there from that year, but Coolio didn't make it in the time capsule.
Coolio. Sorry, buddy. So, yeah, Gus Fring was on Sesame Street, and the audience knew in their bones that Mr. Snuffleupagus received a bloody bowling ball-sized gizzard in the mail shortly after Labor Day. All right, number 4 is Walt Jr., who went to high school with Miley Cyrus on Hannah Montana.
Who'd you say?
Walt Jr.
Oh, yeah.
It's fucking bullshit.
Yeah, that's bullshit.
We have a reasonable explanation for Miley Cyrus's recently erratic behavior. She went to school with Walt White Jr., which places her at the epicenter of the Heisenberg methamphetamine empire. That's right. She's likely been tweaking, not twerking, for half a decade.
She came out and said she likes weed better than cocaine.
I saw that. And then she said that weed is better, and she likes Molly. Molly.
Weed and Molly. Molly, 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 Molly.
Better than cocaine, because cocaine is just a dark drug.
Everybody stand in line to get in line.
That's right.
Or whatever.
So, all okay. Right. Number three, Jesse Pinkman.
Uh-huh.
He was addicted to junk food. What was he in?
He was Robert Palmer's video.
He harbored much darker cravings than meth, like corn pops, juicy fruit, vanilla coke.
Was he in commercials?
Tombstone Pizza, yeah. In all these commercials, mm-hmm. he was cast again and again as a rebel with a cause. Perhaps that's why corn tapped him to spew impossible gallons of vomit all over a prom in a 2002 corn music video.
Huh.
Jesse Pinkman.
That's cool.
Aaron
He's
Paul.
An excellent actor, man. I really enjoyed what he did. And the creative things that he's been doing as little skits aside from that.
Yeah. And I thought it was kind of cool that the the actor that played Todd, his name in real life is Jesse.
Yeah.
And they were talking with Aaron Paul, who plays Jesse on Talking Bad, and saying, how did it feel to actually get to choke him out and kill him? Mm-hmm. How did it feel to kill Jesse? And he's like, well, I'm Jesse, but bitches. Or whatever.
Yeah.
You know, so... let's see. Speaking of Todd, there are few characters as vile as Todd Alquist, an aw shucks neo-Nazi man-child with a soulless porcelain doll eyes. But let's see. What was he on?
Amish Mafia.
Was he?
No.
No. This makes like the all-sexy fan-made music video starring his character from Friday Night Lights.
People talk about Friday Night Lights. I've tried watching it.
Seth Milstein is one that talked about it when he was saying that The Wire was possibly...
High school fucking drama!
I know. He said The Wire, possibly the best show on TV ever. Best drama. And then there was a long thread. I noticed you chimed in a little bit there. And he kept mentioning FNL.
Mm-hmm. And yeah, like, I didn't know what that was either. I had
to read the comments that, with Friday Night Lights. Oh, it's a
good show. And then I read some more comments, and then I said, what is FNL again?
Yeah. You mean SNL? see. He has a folk band as well. Todd does. Mm-hmm. See, what does this say? Breaking Bad gave Todd zero redeeming qualities, so when we see him performing with his folk band, tarantulas caper under waterfalls of hydrofluoric acid in our brains.
That's the name of the band?
I don't think so. I don't know.
Oh, okay. I see what you're... Okay.
I don't know.
Huh.
All right, Mike Ehrmantraut. Liked him. He got killed off kind of early. You know, Mike, the older dude that Walt killed. He's confused by menstruation.
Hmm.
Throughout his career, Jonathan Banks, who played Mike Ehrmantraut, has depicted a lot of tough guys unafraid to get blood on their hands. But in one of his first roles, blood really terrified him. He played a seemingly 10,000-year-old teenager in the underappreciated 74 educational flick Linda's Film on Menstruation.
That's hilarious.
His reality is totally shattered when his girlfriend yells, "It means that blood is flowing out of my uterus." Scare the shit out of him.
Yeah.
All right, so that was only... Oh, that was number one. Oh, we got them all. Todd, Jesse, Walt Jr., and... Whoever I said first.
Mike Ehrmantraut, Carlos.
Gus Fring.
Yeah. So were you satisfied with the ending?
I pretty much was. I thought it was very fitting, the song that they choose.
Oh, that song was great, man. I'm going to put that up there with Freebird on Devil's Rejects as like well-placed music at the end of something. Because when he's... I mean, it gives me chills even now thinking like when he says, "I guess I got what I deserved," which is the first line of the song, you know, and just the camera that was on him at that time. And I didn't even know up until the last moment. I still didn't even know how it was going to end because I almost thought, is he going to do one more cook?
Yeah.
Is he just going to go back into cook and then that's the end? Is like...
But then all the sirens and the cops are coming, and he just kind of falls over.
Yeah.
And I was kind of I was impressed how they wrapped it all up in one episode, because I was wondering,
how?
What's he going to do with that money? Why did he call and leave the phone off the hook? Several things all just...
It wrapped it up, and it's, you know, you can't compare it to an ending that doesn't wrap things up, really, I don't think.
And they kind of, what do you call it, they made it smaller, they condensed that little piece that we saw earlier in season 5 of him spelling out 52 and going to his house that had been vandalized and all that stuff, so it kind of wrapped all that up and told us what was going on with that. I kind of like the fact that they left it a little bit open-ended when Jesse was driving away.
I kept expecting him to, like, get
the car blow
or,
up or something.
Or, like, the cops are going to stop him, because you saw the sirens there, too.
Yeah.
You know?
He must have been past where they came in or whatever.
Yeah. And that gun, brilliant.
Oh, man. When I saw him in the desert setting it up, I thought he was going to lure them out there or something. Or I don't know what he was going to do. I had no idea that he had it such masterfully planned. I noticed when he pulled in, he swung around and the guy said, "I said to park in front first." And he's like, "Well, whatever." I thought he was just making for a quick getaway.
Yeah.
But little did I know. And then, you know, he dives on Jesse, takes a bullet himself by accident. I saw him kind of flinch when he got hit, but it never showed any blood, so you didn't know for sure. I thought it was great.
Yeah.
I thought it was one of the best wrap-ups of one of the best TV dramas, I think, so far.
I think it's in a sweet spot, because I think 5 is a sweet spot of TV series.
Yeah.
You know, I recently watched The 4400, which is only 4, but was supposed to go 5. But I think they wrapped it up, though, because they knew. But at the same time, you know, I think it could have used one more season. Dexter, I think, could have ended after 5 and been fine, even just where it ended. 6 Feet Under, I think that went 6, and I lost interest after 5.
Huh.
You know, not a, there's maybe even The Office, isn't that after Michael Scott left? It was like 5 or 6.
I think it was almost 7, because they went 9, because he had 7, 8, and 9. I think 8 and 9. Because he was not in a lot of the last season that he was in, because he left early. Will Ferrell came in for a while, which I think I'm going to have to rewatch that season, because I forgot a lot about what went on. A lot of funny stuff going on in that season of The Office when Will Ferrell came in for a short time before he died.
What about 6 Feet Under? Now, I know you haven't watched it. Is that something you're interested in watching?
I've heard friends talk about it, and it seems kind of interesting. Is it about a morgue?
Yeah.
It's a family that runs it? Or
yeah, it's probably what a family to a morgue as family to gangster in Sopranos.
Okay.
You know, all the inner workings. But it had that guy from Dexter before he was even Dexter.
Right.
You know, which he filmed on the same lot. So he spent like 14 years on that lot.
It was a home away from home.
Yeah.
Huh.
But I remember that being a very deep show, and they're having some guys that you'll... I think the main guy now is on Parenthood. I don't know if you...
I haven't. I've heard of it.
And then there's... I can't remember the guy's name. There's a couple. Jeremy Sisko was on there for a while, and some fucking messed up family, man, and messed up acquaintances in their family.
Yeah, I like Jeremy Sisko. He's pretty cool. He was in that movie with Christopher Walken and Suicide Kings.
Yeah,
and he was in Wrong Turn and a couple other movies. I've seen him in a lot of stuff. Can't think of them all now, but
He's been around for a long time.
Yeah. So Breaking Bad, over, done with. I'm probably going to go back and revisit some old episodes just for fun.
Yeah.
Just because it's been so long since I've seen them. But,
Watch how the interplay plays out now that you've seen it.
Right, that you know what's going to happen.
Yeah.
Because I don't know. I thought that Walt was going to live and get away. That was my prediction, that he was going to get well. Which he might have been well from the cancer. He died from a bullet shot wound. I don't know if he still had the cancer, if he was still sick. I thought he was feeling good.
I think that's kind of left up in the air how he, you know, I don't know. Because to me, it almost seemed like, didn't he turn that gas stuff on? So did he gas himself? Like when he was at the end, he was all thumping on that pressure gauge.
I don't. He may have. If he did,
so
I didn't.
I thought maybe he turned the gas on and was just kind of going to chill in the building until he passed out.
Yeah, if that happened, I didn't catch that.
And then because yeah, that's why I thought he was going to do one more cook, and then I kind of thought, well, maybe he was just turning that to pass out, and then eventually he would die from the gunshot wound because you bleed out from the gut.
From the gut.
Yeah, but you know, you wouldn't want to lay there because that's probably one of the more painful ways to go, I would imagine. Just bleeding out to death slowly.
Yeah.
Have you seen the previews for a new movie called Last Vegas?
No, but I remember you talking about it or texting me something mm-hmm. about it.
Yeah, Robert De Niro.
Okay.
And Morgan Freeman.
Okay.
Kevin Kline.
Oh, you said it was basically The Hangover 4.
And Michael Douglas.
Okay.
And these guys are tough guys when they were kids, childhood friends, you know. And Michael Douglas is marrying a 34-year-old. And so he gets together all his old friends. Yeah. And, yeah, which makes the jokes like in the preview, I think Morgan Freeman says, "My doctor said I have a... something older than that. Hemorrhoids older than 34. And so they get together and they're going to Vegas for the little, you know, the hangover, basically. And it shows them, like, fighting. And then, like, it flashes back to when they were kids and saying, "Nobody calls us names but us." And so, you know, it looks like it'll be funny. And I like those guys probably more than I like the guys in the hangover.
Yeah.
And so I think you know, but it's hard to say. That movie, it could be fucking dumb and they just showed all the funniest parts in the preview, or
that happens.
Or it could be really good. And, you know, I mean, it's four excellent actors.
Yeah. And they've got tons of movies that have shown that they are excellent actors.
Mm-hmm.
They don't got nothing to prove.
Yep.
Just hopefully there was good writing.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, maybe Michael Douglas will go back to some adventures like Romancing the Stone.
Oh, man. It seems like he wouldn't be caught dead playing a role like that these days. But I don't know for sure.
Let's see. What was some of his other Disclosure?
Yeah.
He was molested, right? By mm-hmm. Demi Moore.
Yep. That bitch.
The Game, where he turned into a lion or something.
Is that Sean Penn and him?
Might be, it's been so long, I just remember he was in it.
Yeah, I think it was pretty good. I remember watching The Game. It was kind of confusing. You didn't really know what was going on, twists and turns. The Streets of San Francisco, remember that?
We talked 70s?
About. Yeah, it was a TV show, him and that guy with the big nose, Carl Malden. We had Flames on last week, and he said, Carl Malden. I was saying Carl something else, but...
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, Mike Douglas, he's been around for a while, and his dad.
He has. He is Spartacus.
Yeah.
Is he still around, Kirk?
I think so.
He's got to be on his last threads.
He's got to be, but I don't know.
They should remake Spartacus with him in it.
Spartacus! We could call it Spartacai.
Have you ever watched that movie from beginning to end in one sitting?
No, I don't think I've ever watched any of it. Was that a 70s movie?
I'd challenge anybody to do that. Sit.
Is it long?
One sitting. Yeah, it's like 3 hours long of just a fucking desert. I watched it once, but it took me like 3 sittings.
Huh.
It is long and it is slow.
And boring. No.
Yeah. Well, look at it's a Kubrick movie, so you got like a 2001 Space Odyssey that's long and slow.
Yeah.
And not much action. You know, I still haven't seen Barry Lyndon. I'd like to watch that Kubrick movie.
I haven't either. I didn't. What is it? I don't even know about it.
It's a Revolutionary War, I think.
Huh. Like, Kubrick.
But it's a long, and I heard kind of a tiresome watch.
Huh. I'm having a good time reading the new Shining sequel.
Ah, you finished it yet?
Dr. Sleep. No, I'm about 35% done, which is funny, because with the Kindle, it tells you exactly how many percent done you are with your book. Back in the day, you're reading, I'm somewhere around half. You don't say 48%, but...
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I even got out the old Shining original book because I think I said last week or a couple weeks ago that the ending in the movie is different than the ending in the book. The hotel explodes because the boiler went wacko and Jack died because of the explosion. But the black dude, Dick Halloran, the guy with the Shining, he lived. And in the movie, he got an axe to the chest.
And he's kind of like the guy that propels it, right?
Well, he had the Shining as well, and when he saw Danny the first time, he knew
he had the Shining.
Yeah.
So are these the only two people that have the Shining?
No, there's like, there's a girl in the new book right now that has it, and her parents are freaked out about it, and then a doctor did some research about it. She can tell when her dad's going to come home. She knows when people get. She's very perceptive on a lot of levels, not just knowing when things are going to happen or knowing people's names or their backstory. When she just looks at a person, she can say, "Oh, that person's dad beats them," and whatever, you know. She knows the whole story. So they said that there was like, I can't remember the statistic, but it was like, it seemed like a lot, but it was way less than you would think. So it's like 1 in 7 million. People, which,
all right,
there's a lot of millions of peoples on the earth, so there'd probably be like 900 cases, I think they said they were. And I don't know if that's true or if that's part of the fiction that Stephen King writes, talking about people who have this somewhat telekinetic and a telepathic, so it's telepathy and telekinesis mixed together. So Danny has grown up, he still has it, it comes and goes. He works in a hospice. And he's called Dr. Sleep because he kind of knows when the old people are going to pass away. He has a cat that seems like it also has a shining. The cat will go into the room of the person who's going to pass away and hang out in there. And so when old Azzy, that's his name, Azrael, when Azzy goes in there, that's when you know you need to call Dan Torrance to come down. And he sets with them, and he kind of it makes it seem like he takes them out. Like, he just sits there with them, and then they die. Like, I don't know. That's just one of his powers. And so now he's getting these signals, like telepathic signals from this little girl who lives not far from him. But and then there's this group of somewhat gypsy-type people who go around finding these people with the Shining, and they get some sort of power from them. They'll, like, kill someone, and they put the vapor in this weird canister.
So they're kind of like the evil.
They're called the True Knot, K-N-O-T. I thought it was kind of cool. They travel around the Earth, not the Earth, but mostly America. They drive in kind of a caravan of like Winnebagos and a country coach. I thought it was kind of cool that Stephen King mentioned that one of the dudes was driving a country coach Affinity, which I used to make those.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, so they're cruising around, and they kind of just get these mental signals that there is a boy in this certain town, and he's got a lot of shining. We need him because we're almost out of canisters. They're like, what do you call it, immortal. They don't die. They don't age. And once they get this canister of, God, I can't remember what they call it. Not juice, but something like that. Anyway, it repowers them, and they kind of get younger, like their physical appearance changes, and then they can wait a couple years before they need to. But they're getting down to a low amount of canisters, and this girl, the girl has come to their attention, and that she's like one of the strongest shiners ever, and if they could just get her, they would have enough canisters full to last them forever. So that's where I'm at right now. There, it's basically setting up three stories, and they're all going to come together, and Danny's mom, Wendy Torrance, had died of cancer. He sees people when he sees them, and they're sick, and something bad's going to happen. They have flies all over their head. So he saw his friend had like four flies.
That's an old
head.
Thing too, like flies surrounding things,
the
like
dead,
of a curse,
halo
dead.
Of flies. Yeah. So he told his friend, "Look, there's something wrong with you. You need to go to the doctor." And he's like, "I'm fine.
My all right, fly head."
And then turned out he had an aneurysm in his aorta. And they had to do surgery.
Wow.
And if they wouldn't have brought him in, he would have died. You know, so he had saw his mother, her whole head covered with thousands of flies. Wow. And later she died of cancer, I believe. So,
wow.
But yeah, it's a good book. Check it out if you want. It's called Dr. Sleep.
Yeah, I think you'd really dig that 4400 show. It's got very...
Is it on Netflix or you watch it online? Okay.
Yeah, it's got some very Stephen King-esque things going on. And this is Steven Spielberg. I think he produced it. But Stephen King is he always writes what, you know, familiarity.
Yep.
With a lot of stories set in Maine.
Uh-huh.
And so this is what I'm saying is he probably has a country coach infinity.
Affinity. He might.
You know,
he drives all around.
Yeah, yeah. He probably had. That's probably the big Motorola that he rolls on.
Yeah, the Motorola.
Yep.
It's rolling with a Moda. Yeah. It's good. Would you be offended if you called 911 with emergency and the lady laughed at you?
It depends on the emergency. If I just shit my pants.
911, what's your emergency? I think I just shit my pants.
Yeah.
Hey, don't laugh. This is serious.
It is serious. I just shit my pants.
A guy called up and they said, 911, what's your emergency? My car just kind of caught on fire and my girlfriend caught on fire. She said, is your girlfriend still on fire? He said, no. She said, no? And then laughter in the background. Okay, more laughter. Is your vehicle still on fire? Oh, it's hilarious, huh? The caller said. Sir, is your vehicle still on fire? I just heard you smirk. Okay, sir, it wasn't regarding that. Yeah, I heard you laugh, though.
How do you hear someone smirk?
Maybe their voice sounds different because their face is... I don't know. A smirk, I guess, is just an inward laugh. So maybe he heard it sneak out. But so then he called him right back. 911, what's your emergency? Yeah. Hello? Yeah, I just called in a few minutes ago, and I just want to make sure that you took me serious. So, story here says it's unclear whether the operator was laughing at the call or something else happening at the call center. If you're calling for help, you shouldn't be laughed at, the guy said. We did not perform as I expect the citizens of this country expect us to, said Captain Jim Barry. We're going to correct that. Certainly, I understand why he was upset. But this call is an isolated incident. County dispatchers received more than 400,000 911 calls. What? There's no time. They receive more than 400,000 911 calls a day or what?
Hmm.
They dispatch approximately 130,000.
Hmm.
So that means that...
They dispatch about a quarter?
Yeah, or a third.
Three of them are wondering how to cook a turkey?
I've got a real problem here. I ordered a Big Mac with no onions, and this has onions all over it.
Yeah, man, that's... It's bad for some people.
You could have an allergic reaction.
Yeah.
So don't call 911 if you have a funny story, because they might laugh at you.
Would you rather have $10 million or no stress for the rest of your life?
Wow. Stress is kind of... No stress is kind of like priceless.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Now, you know, if you already had a little bit of stress and you got $10 million, you would have a ton more stress because you would have people. People would think, oh, yeah, you'd have less stress because all your bills would be paid. Mm-hmm. No, you'd have family members hounding you. You'd have
acquaintances.
You'd buy stuff that you didn't need that would get you into trouble probably.
Mm-hmm.
Man, I think I'd have to tell. I've lived long enough scraping by, mm-hmm, living paycheck to paycheck, and having a lot of stress. So I think I would have... It would be a tough choice because that $10 million sure would look good.
It would.
A big barrel full of money like Walt had. I wonder.
That wouldn't seem like that much, though, if it was just one barrel of money.
No.
If it was $10 million in a barrel.
You need eight barrels.
Yeah.
$80 million. So I wonder if they ever found all that other money. Did that wrap up? Did they wrap that part up? The other $80 million? I don't think it did.
No.
Somebody had to find that shit.
I hope so. Well, no, wait a minute. That's where the money's... Is the money with the coordinates that...
No, that's where those two officers were buried. Yeah, I think they took... It seems to me like Todd and his uncle and those guys took all the rest and said, here's one. Yeah, because they loaded it up in their rig and then said, here, you can have one. So I think it would be somewhere around their compound there or... Is that a compound?
Probably be, the FBI, the NSA will probably find it. You ever watch that movie House?
No.
Not the show, but the movie.
I don't think
so. William Catt from the 80s.
No.
About the haunted house. I watched that again the other day.
You like
it? And it was pretty funny. I forgot Bull Shannon was in there. It's kind of campy. Bull Shannon's in there as like a Vietnam vet. Because, you know, back in the 80s, you know, an actor could be 30 and play a guy who was a Vietnam vet.
Yeah, or a high school kid.
Yeah.
It goes either way.
Yep. Yeah.
Huh.
It was funny. You know, it was a campy horror movie. But it made me think of some of those old campy horror movies like Chud.
Yeah.
And those kind of things, Sleepaway Camp.
Whoa, that was a weird noise. It was like a yawn burp thing.
Yawn burp.
Yawn burp. Hey, we haven't done any crazy Floridian stories for a while.
All right.
This is kind of crazy. Authorities in Florida said that they captured a 10-foot Burmese python believed to have eaten at least two cats in the Port Salmero neighborhood. See, that's why I don't let my cats go outside, because they could get eaten by snakes. However, there's one of my cats that I don't care for that much that likes to shit on the floor and piss on towels. She gets out almost every day, and now I haven't even stopped. I don't even stop her from running out. I just said, you want to go out? Good. Go out and shit on the grass. Piss on some flowers. Stay out of my house pissing on the fucking towels and shitting on the carpet.
Because
I don't like it.
Is that still a thing going on?
Yeah, every once in a while. And
is it because she's not being let outside, you think?
Maybe, because she just, like, waits at the door, and as soon as she hears someone knock, she'll, like, lie in wait. And then as soon as we open the door, bam, dash out. So I just leave her out now, and she comes back when she's ready.
She doesn't, like, hang out in the street or anything.
No, no.
Right?
She just goes around. Well, there's this weird domesticated bunny that's been hanging around in our yard, dude. I think it must have been someone's pet.
Uh-huh.
It's a black floppy-eared bunny, and it's not scared. It ain't like one of those little jackrabbits that you almost hit with your car or
yeah.
that you see in your backyard, and you take one step towards it from fucking 50 paces away, and it just runs because it's so scared. This thing, you can, like, Jaden can, like, walk right up to it and practically pet it. Mm-hmm. Oh, man, a fly. I caught a fly. I caught this spider. I put these tarps out because I was trying to patch up the jam room roof a little bit so it didn't leak so bad. And there was this huge garden spider, or a grass spider, Mike said it was. And there was like three of them,
mm-hmm.
but there was a big one that's probably with its leg span bigger around than a porn guy's penis.
Mm-hmm.
Bigger, I'd say, I don't know, 3 or 4 inches around.
Mm-hmm.
So I put it in a jar.
Good wood nickel.
Yeah, I put it in a jar and brought it into Jaden and said, hey, check out this spider. He's like, whoa, that's scary. I go, this can be your pet. Okay, we'll keep it in a jar. What do you want to name it?
Whiskey.
He wanted to name it Snake. So now we have a spider named Snake.
Right on.
Which is awesome, because I wouldn't have thought of that.
Mm-hmm.
And so I caught a fly the other day, did the old whoosh, caught it. Tried to throw it in the jar. It got away. So I caught another one, and I put it in another cup.
Mm-hmm.
And then I just took the lid off the jar and put the cup, and the fly went in there. Dude, that spider fucking pounced on that thing within 5 seconds and just, like, started wrapping it up, sucking the life out of it.
Really?
Usually when we got spider here that one time, and we put a fly in there and got him all stoned,
mm-hmm.
and he wouldn't even, he was, like, running
yeah.
from it. This dude, grass spiders apparently like bugs a lot more than, like, house spiders.
Hmm.
He just pounced on it, and then we got one of those, like, I think they're called a maple leaf bug. Maple, they're black, but when they spread their wings, they got red underneath them.
Oh, okay.
They
yeah.
got those long antennas.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Mike had told Dakota and Jaden that those spiders will eat any bug because they're a grass spider and that's what they live on, bugs. So he threw a maple spider or maple bug in there, and he didn't want to have anything to do with it, really. Maybe he wasn't hungry, but mm-hmm. I blew like two really big hits of weed in there to where the jar was so full of smoke, I couldn't even see him.
Yeah.
But then by the morning, all the smoke was gone, so obviously he sucked it all up. Now, smoke dissipates, I know, but
yeah,
I think he was really hungry because it was after that night of being stoned that I threw the fly in there, and he was just like...
He must have been.
And now there's just like this empty shell of a fly in there,
weird.
And that maple bug like crawled over and looked at the fly and was like, probably thinking, oh, that's my fate.
Yep.
I'm going to die now. But yeah, that all became of my story
that's
about
science.
These. Yeah, it is. And I don't like to let my cat out, the one that I like, because
mm-hmm.
of cars. We don't like flat cats. We see a lot of flat cats on the highway.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if you lived in Port Salerno, Florida, you'd have to worry about your cat getting eaten by a snake. That's crazy.
Yeah.
Let's see.
Man, those things will eat.
Yeah. The deputy there says that she thinks it went into defense mode. It actually regurgitated a full-size cat and what looked like a kitten. Regurgitated. Huh. That mean?
Yeah. Yeah, half digested. So does that, that would mean, do snakes feed that way by regurgitation?
I don't think so. You mean, so like, just be isn't kind that of what like a cow does it. When it chews its cud? It regurgitates?
No, it's what a bird does to feed.
Okay.
It spits the chewed up worm back into the young's mouth.
But regurgitated, doesn't that mean you swallowed it and then you puke it back up?
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't think that snakes eat like that. I think that they just swallow it whole, but...
Yeah, and so he might have...
Maybe if it doesn't just, dissolve.
Yeah.
He's like, oh, I got all the nutrients out of it. Take that.
I know if they eat an animal backwards the wrong way, too, they can die.
Ooh.
Like, if they eat a mouse the wrong way and the toes, claws will...
You got to eat it head first.
Mm-hmm. Yep. I've heard of snakes dying because they've eaten... the wrong end first. Don't go ass first.
No. Always go head first. So they believe that this pet was owned by a person and that it was released into the wild by its owner. And then it says the python will likely end up at the Bush Wildlife Sanctuary in Jupiter. In Jupiter, not on Jupiter. Mm-hmm. For a second, I thought they had a wildlife sanctuary out there on Jupiter.
They might.
A planet. It's a big planet.
They could just rocket different animals up there.
Rocket! Yeah!
I checked out, people could check this out on the web. There was a recent, solar system planetary photography awards.
Okay.
And there's some fucking...
Cool pictures
on there of like the moon or just like solar system galaxies, or one that shows like a piece of our solar system and a piece of the galaxy and a piece of the universe all in one shot, you know, like defined things.
Right.
Shows the depth, and there's one that shows the moon when it goes and it's exactly in the center of the sun.
Mm-hmm.
It shows that, so you just barely see the ring or perfect ring around the moon.
That'd be neat to be able to take pictures like that.
Yeah.
I mean, it's cool enough to look at them.
And everything like that.
Hmm.
It's cool. It's cool looking.
I will check that out. You'll have to send me a link to it.
All right.
Or something. Hey. They were building some new thing. I thought it was going to be a gas station over there on Highway 34, right by the AMPM, where that gas station that was closed down was.
Mm-hmm.
It's a new Subway and a coffee shop. Just boom, new building.
Wow.
Just boom, it's up.
That's quick.
Have you ever heard of the term ultra-crepidarian?
No.
An ultra-crepidarian is a person who doesn't know what they're talking about.
Ah. Well, I've heard them, yeah.
Ultra-crepidarian. Weird. And I told my daughter this just the other night, just to freak her out, because she saw a spider and got all scared. There are tiny bugs closely related to spiders that live in the pores of your face.
What?
They crawl about your face in the dark to mate. There's bugs in our pores. They're closely related to spiders.
Those are probably the ones we eat.
Ooh. I don't eat bugs. And here's my other weird fact of the day. Eskimos use refrigerators to stop their food from freezing.
Hmm. That is interesting.
Yeah, because it's like 20 below.
Mm-hmm. You can turn your fridge way up,
up
too.
Up to 40 or 50, yeah.
Yeah.
Huh. I got to put this in the fridge and warm it up.
Your fridge is a microwave.
I got to melt my ice. Here, let me put it in the fridge. That'd be terrible. I don't like cold.
You the think that do they enough. Sell ice in Alaska? They have to, right?
Why would they?
Well, because you need clean ice, yeah. Right? Ice cubes, like a bag of ice.
Yeah, that's odd.
Yeah, I know.
They sell.
So you
ice.
Can sell ice to an Eskimo.
Yeah. They got to warm the shit up somehow.
Yeah.
Oh, man. I got the curtain. The curtains are opening. I think I'm catching some kind of a seasonal change cold or something because things got pretty cold and wet.
Speaking of seasons, baseball season ended and it is in the playoffs.
Baseball have been very, very good to me.
Who are you picking to win?
The South Dakota Chargers.
That is a good guess.
South Dakota Chiefs.
I'm going for the Pirates.
Arg, matey. Mm-hmm. I'm just going to go with the team that won't win, the Mets.
I don't think they're in.
Oh. Then they're obviously not going to win.
I don't know. I don't pay attention.
Sportsaredumb.com.
I know Seattle's not in there anymore. The Yankees are not in there anymore.
What about the Dodgers?
The Dodgers, I think, might be.
What about the Indians? Are they still Indians?
Not sure. Yes, they are still Indians.
And is that okay?
The Dodgers still are in.
All right.
And so you could pick them.
I pick them.
They are playing the Braves.
Ooh.
Yep.
The Braves, that reminds me of the book that I'm reading because there was a part.
We are the Braves.
Had the Atlanta Braves, a t-shirt of the Atlanta Braves on a small child who had a junkie of a mother.
Hmm.
He had a pissy, saggy diaper.
That's very descriptive.
Yeah. Hmm. Well, because, you know, Danny had went home with this slut from the bar because Danny was a raging alcoholic for quite some time, but now he's clean and sober. But he brought this chick back to her own place and had sex with her, but he couldn't remember what happened because he got too drunk. Turned out they bought a whole bunch of cocaine. And then when he got up to leave, he was like, shit, I spent all my money on this coke, and I don't have any money, and I just got paid. I'm taking some money from this bitch. And he looked in her wallet, and there was only $70. And he's like, well, there's at least $70 worth of that coke there. She could sell that and get her money back, but I need this money for a four-day drunk. And then this little kid comes out of the bedroom, and he's all pissy diaper, saggy, and looks like he's sad, and made him want to put the money back, but he kind of wrestled with himself, and then he took the money.
Like a Monty Python sketch when Colin Bumber Harris wrestled himself.
Yeah. That was one of the greatest self-wrestling scenes ever.
And a vanilla whip. And a strawberry whip. That is pretty classic.
Classic.
That was the first Python guy to die. He died of AIDS.
Was that Terry Gilliam?
No, it was Colin Bumba Harris.
Oh, you already said that.
Graham Chapman.
Oh, okay, Graham. Hey, man, can I get Graham?
Many of the guys said I think that he was the most talented one.
Huh. But not the most popular one.
He was the guy that did the argument sketch. He was the insulter have you seen that sketch?
Huh.
When he goes in looking for an argument. That he goes in the wrong door and he gets insulted by the guy. He's like, you twit, and just started insulting him. And he's like, look, I came here for an argument. And he's like, oh, sorry, wrong room. This is insults. And then he had to go in and pay $5 for an argument. Poor fella. A classic skit. I'll have to send you a link to that. People, look that up.
Look it up. Look it up. Yeah. Look it up.
Do you have a timer on this episode? Because I'm looking at like an hour and a half.
We must have started late. We must have let the tape run before we started.
For half an hour?
I don't know. Well, we better get to some things before we are out of time.
I don't know. I mean, I'll go all day long.
Oh, I'll go all day, too.
Yeah, I just
but people don't want to listen all day long.
I didn't know how long we had been gluten.
The only person that would listen would be Hans. He'd probably listen to the whole show.
Hey, thanks for calling, Hans.
Yeah, calling Hans. Hans's CD player. You order something new and you go to Amazon.com to do it. No, go to TagCastPodcast.com to do it.
Mm-hmm.
Today, Hans, what are you listening to, buddy? Can't find it. Oh, here it is. Oh, The Sword. Age of Winters. It's a good album. It has the song Freya, which is a name, F-R-E-J-A.
No, Freya.
Freya. The sword.
You're related to Frodo.
Frodo. And this is kind of silly, but I listened to it in its entirety, except for the biggest radio hit, Come On, Feel the Noise. I broke out the record of Quiet Riot's Mental Health and put it on my turntable. I listened to side two first because side one starts with Mental Health and Come On, Feel the Noise.
Yeah.
But there are actually a couple good songs on there that I'd forgot about.
I used to have that 45.
What was the other song?
God,
was it Come On, Feel the Noise?
I had the tape, too, Metal so it was the Come On, Feel the Noise one.
Okay.
I think the back might have been Slick Black Cadillac.
Ooh.
I'm not sure, though, because I remember I had the tape, and I rolled the tape quite a bit, too. But, yeah, Slick Black Cadillac's a favorite.
Yeah, and I had a skip on my record, and it's on Metal Health, I'm pretty sure. I didn't listen to that just the other day when I played the record, but I'm a axe grinder. He's an axe grinder over and over again, which is I can't remember what he says on there, but.
Well, axe grinder is all he says, right? Over and over.
Axe grinder. Fucking axe grinder. What's an axe grinder? Is that someone who sharpens axes?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah. You're like a...
He's an axe grinder.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. Check out some Metal Health.
Yeah.
Some good shit. One of the
There's
best...
There's other choice cuts on there, too. I can't remember you.
Breathless.
Yeah. I was listening to Quantum Mystique.
Ooh, Yob.
Mm-hmm.
Yabba dabba ding dong.
That's what I was listening to.
Stephen King used the term yabo
mm-hmm.
in his book, and I pressed on it to see the definition, and it was yob, which means like a punk from the UK.
Uh-huh.
Or someone who doesn't care about something or something like that. But I thought it was kind of cool he used yabo. That guy was a real yabo. Today we have one birthday.
Did you know Come On, Feel the Noise is a cover?
Yes, it's a cover by the same band that did Mama, Mama, We're All Crazy Now, their second hit off the next album.
Wow, I don't know if I've heard the original.
Slade.
Yep.
They were like a glam metal band of some sort. But yeah, they had two consecutive hit singles with two consecutive Slade covers. Strange, huh?
That is strange.
All right, today's birthday, we already mentioned him once in the show. He was a guest on Comedy Bang Bang Live up in Portland. Portland's funniest person, Shane Torres. Happy birthday, brother. You big Texan, you. I think he's 28 or something.
Happy
like that.
Birthday.
Happy birthday, Shane Torres. Now go get him, buddy. Go Ringo. Man, Ringo, you're so good. So that's our birthdays.
All
today's
right.
National Golf Day. I'm actually 2 July of 2013 on Tiger Woods 08.
Wow, getting there.
So I'm 5 years past. I've been golfing for 5 years. I've got like $10 million that I've won.
Wow.
Can't spend it, though, because I've already bought everything they got.
Did you know, going back to this Quiet Riot thing, the guy from Slade said, Quiet Riot phoned us up and asked if they could use the song. They were a bit cheeky, really, because they had already recorded it. I think they've done a very good version, and the song is a classic. So the guy from Slade asked, how much is he to make out of the publishing royalties? And, you know, maybe enough to buy some very nice presents. Because of the success of the song in the States, we've had 5 major record companies trying to outbid each other and sign us to the major deal. We've had ridiculous offers coming over the phone. We'll give you 5 Rolls Royces if you go with us, that type of thing.
That's crazy. So they asked for permission after they already recorded.
Yeah.
That's a bit cheeky. And that's what people from across the pond say. I've been watching Peppa Pig, which is a cartoon, and they're all English speakers. And they were talking about some snails in the garden.
Nice.
Eating all the lettuce. And he said, they're cheeky little snails. Are you a cheeky snail, Peppa?
Cheeky snail.
A little cheeky snail. So I got a poll here before we get out. It's kind of an interesting poll.
Before that, though, I will say that the song on the other side of that 45, You Better Run for Cover!
Ooh, that was a heavy one.
It was.
I'm a rock and roll mama. Yep. I'm a run for cover tonight. Had double bass and stuff in it. Wow. So there's a pole.
All right, a pole.
That strippers dance on. And, it's called a pole. No, there's a poll. 12% of these people polled believe that the government assassinated John Lennon and Tupac Shakur.
Wow, Tupac.
Tupac. Conspiracy-themed public poll, 12%.
How many people was the number? I thought you just said it.
No, I said it was a conspiracy-themed public poll. I don't believe it says how many.
All right, so
12% of American voters believe the government was engaged in the assassination of entertainers, including John Lennon and Tupac Shakur. Right. But
including, so they just think that.
So their
12%
theory
just think that they're in cahoots to kill celebrities.
Yeah, but their theory is supported by this, and the theory is that you can get 12% of people to agree to just about anything. The public policy polling found that voters were nearly twice as likely at 23% to believe that the government killed political leaders, including Bobby Kennedy and Martin Luther King Jr., to silence them.
Certainly.
The poll found overall that Republicans were far more likely to subscribe to such conspiracy theories.
Robert Kennedy, man, I mean, he was just kind of left hanging out there after JFK got shot, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, the old guard was kind of coming in with, what's his name, Lyndon?
Yeah, Lyndon Johnson.
Uh-huh.
LBJ, the best speakers you can get. Oh, wait, JBL, sorry. 13% believe the U.S.
Obama's a pretty good speaker.
Engages in false flag operations where the government plans and executes terrorist or mass shooting events and blames others, while 70% disagree. And Republicans are 21% more likely as Democrats to believe this theory.
Why would the government not tell us anything if they told us something such as our own people shot Patrick Tillman? Right? Remember that?
Yeah.
If our government will admit that, oh, well, why does anybody think they're hiding anything?
Right. They're totally just upfront and honest with us.
Mm-hmm.
And they said they're shutting down.
Tell you what. If a government admits to doing something now, like the NSA, chances are they've been doing it for 30 years. They just haven't told you.
Yeah, we're just finding out, so they're going to go ahead and let us know.
Mm-hmm.
Because you were on to us a little bit, so yeah, this is what we've been doing. Sorry.
Oh, aliens don't exist?
No.
Oh, we'll tell you in about 50 years.
Yeah. They didn't build the Egypt pyramids? Mm-hmm. No. No, it was actually a bunch of slaves.
What is it, almost 60 years later when they're saying finally Area 51's real?
Yeah. Well, we already knew that, didn't we?
Yeah, but only because of conspiracy theory has pretty much blown it up.
Yep. Blown it up. And if you're blown up with hunger, you should go out to pizza now.
That is some good stuff.
That is. I was looking for a piece of paper, but I don't see it anywhere. They're down on the corner of Hill and Queen in Albany. They got a phone number you can call them at. It's, you probably know it by heart.
928-0900.
That's right.
Wow,
541-928-0900. Ding, 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 ding.
Yeah, they can deliver quick, too, man. You know, there's sometimes I'll be at my door within like 15 minutes if I order some pepperonis.
Nice.
You know, because they got that stuff. The pepperonis already made.
And you should like their page on Facebook because they post some stuff during the middle of the day. Like
once a week, right?
If you see your Facebook post, you can get some free pizza bites with any order. You just got to mention the Facebook, and that is good stuff.
That's like a free lunch tomorrow.
You can find them on Facebook.com/PizzaNowAlbany, and you can follow them on Twitter at PizzaNow1.
What's a great thing, too, is like if your work has like a, you know, get your work to buy a bunch of their $5 pizzas and bring them into your work to, like,
raise morale.
Raise morale for the workers. Yeah, man. It's like, hey, $50, buy us 10 pizzas, man, we'll be happier than shit. And, you know, do it.
Yeah. Hey, and don't forget, tonight is Friday, and there'll be a comedy show going on down in Eugene at the Wow Hall with Brian Posehn. You know, such great movies as Devil's Reject. He was on Just Shoot Me. Got a lot of stand-up comedy stuff, and that's what he'll be doing with Derek Sheen. And also Drew and Marcus from the Donkey Show will be opening up for those guys. So.
I bet you there's going to be some peni jokes being thrown around over there.
Yeah, he's going to Brian will be talking about his wife. And I've never seen her, but he always says that she's super hot, and he is not.
Well, you know, I mean.
He's all, I look like I do. Mm-hmm. And then my wife, she's like hottie-totty.
A lot of his jokes are about how goofy he looks, though.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
That's almost turn off a sheet for me.
And masturbating, he likes to joke about masturbating a lot. But,
yeah, but I like.
But a guy that looks like him, what else would he talk about?
He is a big ogre. He's like what, 6'6"?
He's pretty tall. Yeah, yeah. And he always comes out and flashes the metal horns. You know, it's like him and Jim Brewer and like one other or two other comics are like the metal comics.
Mm-hmm.
I want to be the next metal comic.
Not Hal Sparks.
Does he give metal signs?
No.
He goes like this, right?
He's a fucking straight lacer, though.
No cussing?
Yeah, he doesn't do anything.
Does he do stand-up, or is he just a...
He's a stand-up, but he's straight edge, pretty much. I don't think he's a straight edge comic, but I don't think he, like, does drugs or drink or anything like that.
Yeah, like Jerry Seinfeld, straight edge comic, and I saw his last thing from probably almost 10 years ago. And he said, God damn it, or something.
Really?
I was surprised. He might have even said shit one time, but...
I watched a Seinfeld the other day. It was the 100th episode.
Ah.
And so, you know, I watched just because... Dude, that's, what, 20 years ago now was the 100th episode. It's so fucking crazy to think like that.
Yeah.
And think of how long ago that was. And just to see... And that era of TV on TV now, and just like the set and the feel, and you know, almost like if you watch, you know, it's almost like watching fucking The Wizard of Oz.
Yeah.
In the 80s, you know, it's almost the same amount of time.
Yep.
Time flies. Back in the 80s, man, you know, rock and roll was only 30 years old.
Yeah.
Now it's 60.
Shit, it's a senior citizen now.
Yep.
Rock and roll gets free breakfast.
That was half of rock and roll ago.
I'll see you in half of rock and roll ago.
You know? I mean, think of Fonzie, where he was in relation to rock and roll was, 25 years maybe?
Like in the 70s?
If you're thinking like, what, 53 for rock and roll, I would say. Is that probably about accurate? That's like... I'm thinking like Chuck Berry and those kind of times. He's kind of like the where it all began, right?
Elvis broke in like 56.
All right. Yeah, so 53 was probably some underground Bill Haley getting going.
Yeah.
He was starting to rock up until 6. He wasn't rocking around the clock.
I'm
rocking until midnight, and then I'm going home.
1, 2, 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock, rock. 5, 6, I got to be home at 7 o'clock, rock. So that's the end of my song. That's my curfew.
Yeah.
Yep, so let's see what else. Go check out TerryGuile.com, check out TagCastPodcast.com, click on the Amazon link and do some shopping.
ZappaCast.com.
Yep, and SickDaddy.com, and don't forget about Dudes Chillin' with no G.
Yeah, Dudes
Chillin'.com. So, yeah, there's all that stuff. Pizza Now, VFMF coming back.
Go wash your car.
Oh, yeah, Brownsville Car Wash. Don't forget about those guys.
Only... 3 miles off of I-5 at exit 216.
That's right. And it's a self-service thing. You can't just be lazy and drive through. You got to get out and squeeze the trigger of the wand. But
you can use it in the rain because you're covered.
Yep, we got an inside bay and an outside bay and a self-service vacuum cleaner that really sucks.
Mm-hmm.
Big time.
Also, a national landmark, too.
Before I forget, I had already recorded plugs for this week and got a new show coming up that some of you guys might be excited about. Maybe Brandon Vaughn, our former guest and short story writer who's working really hard to get a certain amount of short stories done. He's going to publish through either Amazon or Kindle.
Sweet.
So that's going to be kind of cool. But let's see, Brandon Vaughn, what was I saying? Oh, new show coming up, the 30-pound test CD release show.
Oh, nice.
November 8th, that's a Friday night. It's over in Corvallis at Sub-Zero, which used to be the Platinum there, 126th 4th. I believe Summer Soundtrack is going to be playing, and I think Bikini's on the bill as well, as long as we get secured with that lineup. And I think it's $5 at the door. They will have their new CD that's called EDSF.
Mm-hmm.
You know what that stands for, anybody? Besides you? Eat, drink, sleep, and fish, which is a weird order. Wouldn't you eat, drink, fish, and then sleep?
I wouldn't drink fish.
Eat, drink, sleep. Oh, drink, sleep, and then fish.
Yeah. First you want to eat, then you want to drink, and then you're probably going to eat again.
Yeah.
But you got to fish first.
They fish always, though.
But you got to drink before you, while you're fishing.
That's a rule.
Uh-huh. And the nap comes after the drinking, though.
And then you go do some more fishing.
So, I don't know what order it goes in.
Fish, eat, fish, drink, fish, sleep, fish, fish.
Mm-hmm.
So it'd be F-E-F-D-F-S-F-F. Fetisifus. What do you see out there?
I see a small little dog with a cone on its head.
Oh, poor
wandering around in the street.
He's lucky the UPS man didn't run over him.
I know.
Earlier when he came through.
Fucking cone head. We were talking about those earlier.
Yeah,
imagine.
He's an inverted cone.
Manifested that.
Manifesto destiny.
Yeah.
All right, well, shit, it's Friday, and we gave you an extra long show, because who knows why?
Hell yeah.
It was a sunny day, and we just got to talking about Breaking Bad and all these different things, and we thank you guys for listening. We'll be back on Monday with another show.
Shoo.
And,
I have a guest next week.
Oh, that's right. I believe he has confirmed. He's clear from Portland, but he likes free pizza.
Right on.
So he said he'll be in Salem on Saturday and that he's just going to stay the night up there and then come down. We'll have Eric,
awesome.
Eric Alexander Moore, comic from Portland. I did a show with him in Salem one time at the Stonefront Tavern. He was a funny dude.
Right on. Looking
he was a little sweaty.
That.
He's a little sweaty.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll keep the windows open for you, Eric. And yeah, tune in for that next week. Thank you guys for listening.
And rock on.
And peace out. And metal. Oh, and don't forget about the Loverboy tryouts. They might be coming up next. You never know.
Later. Hello, everybody, and this is Barry Lungdo from Celebrity Auditions. And tonight, we are going to bring back Loverboy because Les Claypool has quit Loverboy. He won last week. He had a conflictionary bassists issue, and so he denied the job. And so tonight we will try one more time to find a singer for Loverboy. And our first contestant, all the way from the head of a motor, Lemmy Kilmister.
Hey, thanks for having me on the show, mate.
Anytime.
My Cocoa Puff's hurting.
Your Cocoa Puff.
This thing on my face here.
Just press it a couple times.
It's sore.
It's like an effects pedal, right?
Well, I guess you could say that.
All right, hit a Loverboy.
When do I start?
You just feel the groove, feel the groove.
We just heard of a brand new wave, and we hope it's here to stay. We'll have to wait and see if it's half of what they say. We heard they open up a brand new door. You know that's what we're looking for. We'll have to wait and see. But make sure shout for more. Do you like him so far? Do you like his show? Do you like the way he rocks and the way he rolls? Do you like his image? Do you like his style? Do you like the way he looks and the way he smiles? Yeah. The kid is hot tonight. Wow! Thank you.
You were really belting it out there. I'm liking it. I'm liking it.
Do I get the job, mate?
We got a few more contestants to go through.
Yeah! It's my turn, yeah!
So just sit back over there behind the scenes, Lemmy, and here we go. We got our next contestant here.
Back, yeah!
James Hetfield, still looking for a job, and we're going to give him another shot tonight. Here we go.
We just
sort of a brand new wave. And we hope it's here to stay. We'll have to wait and see if it's half of what they say, yeah. We heard he opened up a brand new door. Well, you know it's what I'm looking for. We'll have to wait and see if it makes you shout for more, oh yeah. Do you like him so far? How do you like his show? How do you like the way he rocks and the way he rolls? How do you like his image? How do you like his style? How do you like the way he looks and the way he smiles? Yeah! The kid is hot tonight. Whoa! So hot tonight. But where will he be tomorrow? Yeah! The kid is hot tonight. When he's hot tonight. And where will he be tomorrow?
Wait,
yeah!
Whoa, James,
the kid
whoa,
is
whoa,
hot,
whoa.
Yeah! Oh, the kid is so hot tonight,
whoa,
yeah!
Oh, James, whoa, yeah. Whoa, yeah!
What?
You're speeding up again when it gets to the chorus. You're
we heard
like,
of a brand new wave, yeah! Didn't know it's gonna be so goddamn, yeah!
You're doing great until then.
Black things will be a little bit faster, yeah!
All right. Well, maybe that's a direction we can go, all right.
I don't think there's anybody here that can beat me, yeah!
Well, we'll have to see about that. Lemmy did pretty good over there.
Yeah,
and,
fuck Lemmy! I'll fucking kick Lemmy's ass, yeah!
But we do have one more contestant here tonight.
Whoa, yeah!
Next we have, all the way from Detroit, Gene Simmons.
Oh, thank you.
What do you do? What's that going on with your hair, Gene?
That's my real hair.
Oh, calling back the love. Just heard of a brand new wave, and we hope it's here to stay. We'll have to wait and see if it's half of what they say. We heard you like the way he rocks and the way he Dr. Love, yeah. Detroit Rock City.
All right, Gene, I'm not sure if you're going to cut it, Gene. I think...
Dr. Love.
I like the Dr. Love you're throwing in there, but I don't know what that has to do with the kid. Could be all that hair in your face. We're tallying up the audience votes right now. And it appears with 68%, Lemmy wins!
Oh, I told you guys I was the best singer for the job, and we'll be doing the Ace of Spades!
Sorry, James, we couldn't get you a gig this time, but... next week, Foreigner may be
you
in here.
Box Hero, yeah!
All right.
I'm going to hang out with Lars Ulrich.
For Celebrity Auditions, this is Barry Lundo.
Yeah!
Hey, all you taggots. Welcome to the first plugs that's ever been recorded from a remote location. From the secondary studios of Tagcast Podcast, it's plug time. Don't forget, every second Friday, we got Pantsless Comedy with Mike McGowan hosting the show, always bringing down some great headliners from Portland, Salem, and also the Eugene area. That's in Eugene at the Cornucopia, 5th and Pearl. This Friday night, October 4th, it's Brian Posehn and Derek Sheen doing stand-up comedy at the Wow Hall in Eugene with Drew and Marcus from the Donkey Show, both getting to do opening sets of stand-up there. Go online and look for tickets. It's going to be a good show. Excuse me while I clear my throat. October 11th, Diamond Head and Raven at the Hawthorne Theater. Nether Regions from Portland will also be opening the show. The 10th through the 13th up in Portland, it's Fall Into Darkness Festival. Tons of good bands over 3 days. The highlight for me, which is the only one I'll be taking time to mention, is Orange Goblin. It's going to be at Mississippi Studios on the 11th. So if you want to go and see Diamond Head and Raven, you'll have to miss Orange Goblin or something. October 13th, Creator and Overkill at the Hawthorne Theater. October 14th, Dave Chappelle at the McDonald Theater in Eugene. The 15th, day after day, we got shit going on. We got Guar and Whitechapel and a few other bands at the Hawthorne Theater up in Portland. You're home for metal up there, for sure. because 2 days later, the 17th, Deicide, Broken Hope, and a slew of other death metal bands at the Hawthorne Theater also. That's the corner of Hawthorne and Cesar Chavez Boulevard, if you want to know where the Hawthorne Theater is. And look them up online to find out tickets for all those shows. October 19th, it's a Saturday, we got the Alice in Chains tribute band Sick Man, along with Bikini, that's my band, and from Portland, Slow Motion Pornography. That's going down at the Dixie Creek Saloon, probably one of the last hard rock shows to go since they changed ownership. That's in Tangent on Highway 99. It's a free show. It's 21 and over, of course. Starts at 9 o'clock. So please come and see us. It'll be great. October 26th, that's a Saturday night. Bleepin' Funny. It's a comedy with no cursing. We bleep ourselves so you don't have to. That's at Sam Bond's Garage, the corner of 4th and Blair in Eugene. It's an early show. It starts at 6:30, but it's free. You do have to be 21 to get in. It's going to be myself along with a bunch of other cool people that are funny from Eugene area. And your hostess with the mostest, Leanne Joshua, of course. I don't know who's interested in this, but thought I'd pass it along. November 5th, Rob Zombie and Korn in Yakima, Washington. Up there in Yakima at some place. You'll have to go online and look. I didn't even write it down. I just said Yakima. Also, at a strange place close to Seattle in Kent, Washington on November 11th, you got Lamb of God, Testament, and Killswitch Engage. Lamb of God does not have a new album coming out till next year, but they are on tour. So go see them. November 26th, it's Morbid Angel with our friends Tony and Tony from World of Lies. Also, Oregon band Seasons of Suffering. Or I think it's Season of Suffering. That's all at the Hawthorne Theater. November 29th, Pearl Jam at the Rose Garden. And way down the line in January of 2014, it's January 17th, 2014, DRI. With World of Lies and some other bands at the Hawthorne. So that's a bunch of stuff for you to go do. So be cool and go do it. Don't just sit at home. But if you decide to do that, make sure you're listening to the Terry and Gatch Comedy Show. You can find it at tagcastpodcast.com. Thank you so much for listening. We love you. And good night.